E1, number 22B.
What are really these numerals of infinity? She says, the numerals of infinity called 7 days can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. And then she lifts them right out of a time sense into an isness sense. Meaning that they really are the constituents of being. So in the second column, we really could now write down here, we get the divinely scientific understanding, divinely scientific understanding. The first column. And so we characterize in that divinely scientific understanding soul and life. Soul are identities. Life is being. Therefore, there are the identities, identities of being, small b. Because they are the numerals. Actually, what does it mean? It means that they are, so to say, the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. These are our identities of being. These are our numerals with which we work. These are our elements with which we work, namely, those unchangeable identities, that soul, those unchangeable entities in being, therefore of ideational being. So we could call soul and life the identities of being, and enlarging them and say these identities as soul are really unchangeable identities of being. And what is being? Being is really ideational being. Ideas, Perhaps you could put into brackets ideas of mind to love. So the whole range of ideas are here the numerals with which we are going to work. You know that the numerals of infinity are distinguished from the days of creation, that are distinguished from attributes, because attributes are what? Attributes are qualities which we attribute to God. Therefore, they are qualities which God Himself doesn't have. See, that's attributes. We attribute them to God without that God has them. And you can easily see that the attributes have all a very human connotation. So if we say that God is wise, then we say, we define the nature of God through an attribute. Because God itself is not wise. God itself, mind itself, is intelligence. Wise is only something which we can have when it is combined with a human conception. So wisdom is an attribute, not a numeral of infinity. Or purity is not an idea of God, an idea of spirit. It's an attribute which we give to God and say, God is pure, but He isn't. He is just the only. But from a human standpoint, this only, as we have seen in the word, appears as perhaps purity. And so if we say God is pure, God is wise, these are attributes. So here, in understanding, we are not dealing with these attributes. We are not even dealing with the days of creation. Now you know that the days of creation are really those qualities and characteristics which show forth a time or space sense of being, a developing sense of being. So if you have that, the statement that spirit develops, then you know this is depicting spirit not from the point of view of spirit, but spirit from the point of view of how it appears to the human in a time sense. Because development has a time sense in it, has an accretion sense in it, that something becomes bigger and bigger, more defined, more concrete, more concrete. This has nothing to do with being itself. You see, they are not identities of being. Therefore, in the teaching of Mrs. Dawley and of Mrs. Eddy, she makes that great difference between the days of creation, which have a creative sense in it, a developing sense in it, a time sense in it, a sequence sense in it, and separates those from the numerals of infinity, which Mrs. Eddy calls, that is, from those ideas which have within themselves an isness sense, a sense that is free from time and space. So you can see here we are really contemplating the identities of being from the standpoint of soul and life. Soul as showing the unchangeable entities, and being those entities which are timeless, spaceless. In other words, if we have been going through the seven synonymous terms up there at the level really of science itself, we were then considering, when we were considering the ideas appertaining to those synonymous terms, we were considering the identities of being, the numerals of infinity. Consequently, we see that our structured understanding would have to start, or must start with an investigation of what are the ideas of mind, of spirit, of soul, of principle, of life, and truth, and love. Without them, it would be like starting to learn arithmetic without knowing the digits. So the numerals of infinity are, so to say, the divine digits. If we know them, then we must see that with them alone we cannot calculate. Just to have in arithmetic the 10 digits doesn't say that we can calculate yet. We just have the bare elements. So arithmetic would go a step further and show the relationship, the modus operandi of how these digits can be combined, how they can be put into relationship, and according to that relationship we have different operations. If that relationship is addition or subtraction or division or multiplication, naturally it's always something different. If I have, for instance, a 3 and a 5, and I have a relationship of addition between them, then my product is 8. If I have the 3 and the 5 and I have a subtraction in it, then my product may be 5 minus 3, 2, another result. Or multiplication, 3 times 5, 15, again another result. Still the same numerals. Or if I divide 5 by 3, I have 3/5. And again another value. And so it shows that though I have just a few digits, or identities of being, the moment I know something about the calculus, so we come to the calculus, spirit and truth is the calculus. If I come in arithmetic to the way of processing with these digits, with these symbols, then I have the arithmetic calculus. So spirit and truth are characterizing that. Why spirit and truth? Because spirit is in being that term which shows infinite reflection. Reflection. The reflection of spirit. The ability that each digit, that each identity of being can be combined with every other identity of being, with every other idea. That's what spirit shows. If it wouldn't be all spirit, then we would have hindrances in that calculation because we would have a mixture. But spirit is infinite reflection, therefore shows that these identities of being can reflect each other. But not only can reflect each other, but every time they reflect each other according to a certain way of reflection, we get a new result, truth, a new effect, truth. Just as I have shown it right before with arithmetic, that you get either an 8 or a 2 or a 15 or a 3/5. Every time the result is different. So according to the processing or calculus we employ, we get a different effect. Therefore, we can see that what we could show here in the divinely scientific understanding on the spirit and truth, we would now see that every reflection equal new form. Huh? Can you see that? If I know the calculus of being, then I can take those digits and put them into a different order. Perhaps you could also say every reordering, or every restructuring. That's another calculus, brings forth a new form. That's what we have naturally witnessed over the last 30 years or so, that we had fundamentally the calculus, namely the 7 and the 4, but with that 7 and the 4, we could, according to the structuring and the restructuring, we could get, say, the matrix of the prophets, the matrix of the epistles, the matrix of the textbook. We can get the matrix also of mind, the matrix of spirit, the matrix of soul, the matrix of all sorts of things, always on the same calculus of 4 times 4. But according to the accent we give on one of the aspects, we get another form. So if my accent of the matrix is on the Christ, I get the prophets. If I put the accent of the matrix on Christianity, I may get the epistles. And if I put the accent of that same matrix on science, I may get the layout of the textbook. And so I can shift the accent. And every time I get a new matrix. 4 times 4 matrix. A new form. So, we can call it that every reflection brings form a new form. We could say that every new ordering brings forth new form. Can you see that, for instance? The very first calculus or operation we had with the 7 synonymous terms, where the word order, we took the 7 numerals, or the 7 great symbols of being, And when Mrs. Eddy puts them into the order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, we get a definite form, namely the answer to the question, what is God? The moment you take the very same seven, and put them, as Mrs. Eddy did, in a different order, in the order of principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, you get a new form, namely the translation sense of being. That's something else than the definition of being. And so we saw in Christianity that the moment we put those into a different order, as Mrs. Eddy has done in the glossary, you get the completely new form, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love, indicating the Christianity sense, the reflection sense, that sense which gives us the key for the infinite realm of the ideas, the bigness of an idea. Could you see right out of what we have been doing right up to now that we take always the same identities of being, the same numerals of infinity, and if we put them into a definite calculus, calculate them, every time we get a new form. And this is a very simple illustration, but as I have shown you, we also could take the mind matrix and the spirit matrix and the soul matrix and etc., etc., etc. You can have all sorts of new reflections as long as you know your rules that apply to reflection. You must know your definite rules. And in that way, actually, we can bring forth new forms. See, it's something like playing chess. In playing chess, you have something very fixed. You have your identities. Namely, you have a chessboard. You have always the same amount of squares in it. I think it's 8 times 8. 64 squares in it. Always the same, whatever you play. Each one has a very defined set of figures. That doesn't change. And now, having your tools, each one has a definite set of rules. He cannot move with every figure the way he likes to move. He has to stick to a defined set of rules. And so each one can use those set of rules, which are defined. That's our calculus. And because there are so many ways of starting, that's the first thing, from that point on, every chess play is different. Has always a new form. No one play will be the same as that before. Though you have a limited sense of figures, a limited sense of processing, of calculus, still you have infinite possibilities of playing. And so everyone is new, it never repeats itself. Can you see what is meant by it? Which shows right afterwards that actually, if we take that symbol of playing chess, that you see that therefore every game we said is different. Huh? Every game is different, we have said here, huh? In the calculus. But all the games are within the same matrix. Huh? Mm-hmm. All the games. Everyone, though it's different, so you have here really mind and love saying that every manifestation, every game, huh? Every manifestation is within the plan of love. Huh? Every game is within the plan of chess playing. Huh? So we like to Actually, first, Mr. Dawley called it the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension. You know why he called it the fourth dimension? Because of Mrs. Eddy's statement that Christian Science really gives the calculus explaining the line, word, plane, Christ, space, Christianity, and fourth dimension of spirit. So out of that statement in miscellaneous writings, he had taken this connotation of that the word is the line, because it goes along a certain creative, constructive line, the word. The Christ is touching every plane, comes down to every plane of thought. Christianity is a space, as we have seen, the realm of ideas, huh? The universe of ideas, it's a space. And so he took here as the fourth dimension, that dimension which has no limits. I like really to call it matrix. Matrix, because matrix is also that tone which says that within the womb of something, that is, within the self-containment of the infinite, there is constantly a creation going on, an infinite emanation, as Mrs. Eddy calls it, from the infinite self-containment. Actually a paradox in itself, but we know that paradoxes can be solved when we see them in a structural sense. So here we see really that every game that is played with a chess is within the matrix of chess playing. You can't go out of the matrix, and therefore they explain very often the sense of matrix through a chess board and the rules applying to playing chess. It's showing that every idea, mind, huh? That each idea, we can point that out in the divinely structured understanding, we can write down that each idea has really its own perfection. Huh? You can win your game in chess in thousands of different ways, in millions of different ways, not only in one way. Every game can win. Huh? So each idea has its own perfection. You can perhaps put it that way. Giving a sense that within the whole, that within the realm of infinite perfection, every idea is perfect. That infinite ideas have each one its own sense of perfection. Because the infinite never repeats itself, the perfection of an idea never repeats itself. But each one, just the same, has a perfection of its own. Then you come further to principle, because when you have seen, say, that every game has its success or can win, and that you can win in millions of different ways, not only in one way, but in millions of ways, you see that this is possible only because, right down fundamentally, there is a principle at work, the principle of chess playing, a principle at work, which we can call the omni-action. See, each chess player always makes moves and he never repeats them. So it's not just action, it's really omni-action, all action. So put it back into principle, or into the principle of the science of being, we can see that everything that happens in being, that all that there is going on in being, is really the omni-action of the one principle. That within that principle, everything is included. So we could write down in the second column, really, that only principles, idea, is ever going on. This is one way of stating it. There are many other ways of stating it, just to bring out that sense that principle's idea is omniactive, the principle's idea is going on without ever repeating itself. If it would repeat itself, it wouldn't be omniactive. So there is no repetition, and yet there is just one principle. This is the great enigma of being, the great mystery of being, the great wonder of being, that there is one principle, and yet omni-action of principle's idea, without ever contradicting itself. So, here we would have now the divinely structured understanding, that understanding which says, first I must know my seven synonymous terms and know the ideas of the seven synonymous terms. Then I must know the calculus, how to combine these ideas. The fundamental calculus is Word, Christ, Christianity and Science. And every time, we come now to Mind and Love, and every time I use that calculus and calculate those seven synonymous terms, I get a new idea, a new expression, completely new, yet complete in itself. Fulfilling, so to say, a perfect place within the whole. So we see that therefore each idea has a perfection of its own, so that finally we see that which makes that work is the divine principle itself and not we who use it.